Welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. I have a bachelor's degree in social sciences. That gives me enough knowledge to know I am in way over my head with guests who have the credentials and the expertise of my guest today. Fujian's CV is very impressive. With her in-depth knowledge of a wide array of theories and modalities in behavioral psychology, she took the best of many of them and developed a structured, evidence-based framework called Awareness Integration Theory, or AIT. Fujian explains it all so we lay people can understand it easily, and it makes so much sense. I love Fujian's answer and excitement when she gives her closing advice to our demographic. Before we start, another reminder about the new feature at the website. At boomwithabang.com, I've created a resource section. You can look up previous episodes by subject, and you can find books written by guests, some interesting courses and offerings, lists of jobs and philanthropic possibilities. Also, if you're curious about the life of a house and pet sitter, I'm journaling my journey. Listen to my conversation with Fujian now. My guest today has quite the CV. She's an international speaker, author, psychotherapist. She has her doctorate in clinical psychology and is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She has obtained a graduate certificate in the topic of human behavior from the Harvard Extension School. Her expertise is in intimate relations and addictive behaviors, and she has extensive experience treating depression, anxiety, traumas, and domestic violence. Fujian has also developed a structured, evidence-based framework called Awareness Integration Theory, or AIT. It's a life-changing methodology that's been shown to significantly reduce anxiety and depression while boosting self-esteem, confidence, and overall life satisfaction. She's also the co-creator of the Fujian app. That part caught my attention, as I'm really curious about and interested in how tech compare with psychology as well as other health modalities. I'm way in over my head already, so let me introduce my guest, Dr. Fujian Zain. Thank you for coming on today, and welcome to the Boomer Woman's podcast, where we are embracing the journey.
Thank you. It's such a joy to be here, Agnes. Thank you for the invite.
No, that's great. Now, I've already admitted that I'm in way over my head. Let's just jump in. Tell us what the awareness integration theory is.
Of course, it's a theory that it's I call it a multimodality because I've learned so many of the amazing theories, psychological theories that are out there, and each one of them kind of looked at one angle. Like there are theories that says if you change your thoughts, then we'll start from thoughts, and then that by itself changes the emotion and behavior. Emotional theories like, acknowledge your emotion, get to know them. They have an amazing message. Release them, get the message, and then when you do that, you look at the thoughts behind them, and then change the behavior. Behaviorists say change the behavior, and by itself, because we change the behavior, other matters change. Trauma-informed, they look at, the memory, what you've created, the meanings, and then mind and body theories look at how we store emotions, how we store memory in our body, how we need to release it. So each one of them had amazing qualities. But I think that each one of them, kind of like stopped at one where the other one started. So I figured, hey, I'll learn them all and bring them in and create them all in a structure. So it created a structure that creates awareness for today, how we are, because we are aware of probably 5% to 10% of what we do. The rest of it is very much subconscious, but subconsciously, we are behaving. Subconsciously, automatically, we're having a lot of thoughts and beliefs and emotions that are coming. So, first, we start looking at becoming aware of who am I on a daily basis, how I think, how I feel, what am I doing, and how am I behaving, and what kind of results am I creating based on my thoughts, my emotions, and my behaviors and belief systems, and who am I in every domain of my life, right? Like we are in relationships all the time, Agnes, right? Like I'm in relationship with my work, I'm in relationship with my mate, I'm in relationship with my body, I'm in a relationship with my dog. I'm in a relationship with finances. What relationship, family, systems, community, all of that. So am I the same person in all of them, or do I obtain different skills in all of them? Do I have different values in all of in each one of them? And so who am I being? And I start looking at that, and that the model allows me to start looking at that piece. Then it allows me to start looking at how do I live with my assumptions all day? And then I create these bubble out of my own assumptions. And without checking the reality, I live in these assumptions. So I want to take responsibility in the way that I perceive, assume, and then behave based on those. So might as well kind of be aware, because I'm projecting that the world is doing this to me, versus kind of looking at how am I perceiving and what am I creating. And then there's also this area of I have a relationship with myself that kind of trumps all of these stuff, which if I think I'm great and I'm capable and I'm awesome and all of that, I behave a different way with the world versus I'm incapable, I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, and put myself down. So we have a relationship with ourselves, which is different than how we relate to the world. So the part of the awareness is really this encompassing kind of having a camera. I said, create two cameras. And I think almost everybody has some of these cameras in their homes, right? It's like, okay, let's create a camera that goes in and watches our thoughts, our emotion, and our body sensation. And then you'll install a camera outward, which watches my behavior to the world, and then what kind of results I create, the impact of my behavior with the world, and what happens, this relationship out here. And then as we're watching these cameras, we listen to our own commentary. We look at, the belief systems, the thoughts process that shows up, that is constant. What am I hooking on to? What emotions I keep creating and fostering? What thoughts are automatic and keep showing up? What belief systems hold me and won't let me go forward? And what belief systems are, igniting this amazing manifestation out there and takes me and calls me forward? And then out of this awareness, we kind of start looking at those belief systems that don't work for us, that are holding me, that are outdated. Maybe I made this up, when I was 3 or 4 or 5 or 10. Something happened and I made a decision about myself and the world, and I generalized it, put it in concrete, and that's the way it is. And I haven't upgraded it all these years. So the searching for those beliefs, watching how it operates. Then I can go and look at when did I make that up, right? It was an event happened that I said that to myself, and then, put it in cement. I put an identity for myself. I am something, or the world is something. And then I got stuck to it. So I can go back into the memory lane, kind of, bring that part of me out of the closet, kind of connect back into it, integrate it within myself, so that I can be whole and I'm not all these fragmented parts. Because our systems does that, right? Our system fragments us in order to survive. And it's like, okay, I can be strong enough that I can take all of these my fragment parts, heal them, and be a part of me. And then so I can be a whole person as I'm going forward, right? Like if I'm 63 years old, I don't need to have a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old and a 15-year-old, states of emotions hanging out somewhere. They can be all parts of me where I can have vulnerability, I can have my strengths, I can have a range of my emotions, I can have my thought process appropriate to my experience of 63 years of, experiencing going out there. So as I become a whole and I look at, everything that I have in all these areas of my life and the skills I have, the resilient, the power, that I've created, all of that as a person, from there I can create an intentional way of being and operating, right? I can say, what are the belief systems that I want to operate from? What are some of the emotions that I like to foster, right? Like if automatically I was fostering anxiety and anger, I want to be intentional that I keep fostering love and gratitude. Let's say, because not that the anger, anxiety aren't going to show up. I'll listen to them, I hear them, I'll take their message, I'll take care of them, but I want to foster love and gratitude. So I want to keep bringing back myself into this space. And then, you know, what behaviors I'm committed to doing, I can get rageful at any time and, you know, get violent, but I choose not to, right? So I'm going to be committed not to do that. I'm going to be committed to resolution of conflict versus reacting to a conflict. So these are behaviors that I can say, I'm committed to these way of behaving. I'm committed to creating a healthy communication. So I can be intentional instead of automatic about who I intend to be. And from this person who is me, is not somebody else, it is he, this person is me. I'm just picking the best part of me throughout the years that I've chosen. And I'm like, you know what? Be the best part of me. Not the other parts won't show up, but if I'm aware of them, I'll catch them, I'll love them, I'll accept them, and then choose to be the best of me again. And then from there, I can set up all the goals in different areas of my life, create structures for all of these goals, and you know, create outside structures so it holds me accountable to move forward and obtain these goals. And I have a system to evaluate myself, not being punitive, just evaluation. I can be intentional in the morning and say, I like to be intentional today and create these things and be this person. And then at night, I have the tools based on the AIT to say, how did I do? Did I say, you know, whatever worked for me? Oh, these things worked for me. Okay, how did I think and how did I feel and what did I do that these things worked for me? Oh, these are my strengths. Okay, good for you. Keep doing it. And these are the ways that I didn't do it. Well, what stopped me? What kind of thought process? What emotions or what behavior did not go? All right. What did I learn from it? And how can I, you know, recommit myself? And it's like, all right, it's okay. Yeah. Do you want to recommit to this tomorrow? Yes. All right. So you have an evaluation system that allows you to be fulfilled with life, to play the best of you at any time. And if your other vulnerable side comes in, you know, you're with nurturance, you're like, it's okay. You know, we all have those bad days or bad moments. And I learn from it and, you know, keep recommitting myself to my capabilities. So that's kind of like a structure that is taken from almost, you know, seven, eight theories that and interventions that have been there, just kind of bringing them together to handle the present, clean up the past, you know, create a envision a future to co-create with life. And a future that calls you forward. And then in the meantime, to also be a person who is loving and accepting toward all of you, and lives with your strength while you take care of your own vulnerability.
Okay, I'm going to go right back to the very beginning and just say that makes so much sense because I've got an undergraduate degree in the soft sciences. And I remember going, yeah, that makes sense, but you know, there should be more, or there's other things, other forces that have affected us, even you know, back in my 20s. Now, you've just admitted you're 63, so I'll say it out loud. I'm 70. By the time our audience gets to this age, which they are, we got a whole bunch of baggage. And, you know, we can say, well, you know, that event made me this way, and that person made me this way. And it's easy to externalize all that. I can see that a person needs a lot of guidance to start saying, wait a minute. That may have happened, but I get to choose how I deal with it, react to it, whatever. How do you guide them to seeing that they can take responsibility and ownership and make the next choice?
I think that when we look at reality, is that reality in all sciences, whether it's a neuroscience or whether it's quantum physics and all of that, reality is based on perception. There is no ultimate reality out there, right? So when I capture that reality that is based on my perception, is that yes, events happen all day, all night. We're part of a universe that comes at us. You know, you start driving. You're not controlling every element of your driving. All you have control over is pretty much your hand and your feet and your eyes. I can't even tell you you have control over your car, because if a tire blows, you don't have control over the blowing up the car or whatever is happening. So it's like, can I be realistic and look at what do I have control over? I have my eyes, what do I see, my hands that is holding the steering wheel, and my 2 feet. So the only way that I can be with the world and whatever it brings me is to look at what am I making a meaning? Input shows up, input comes in, and then my brain starts analyzing this input. Sometimes consciously, sometimes absolutely unconsciously. Sometimes, most of the time, we're not even aware of the input that shows up. Our sixth sense, five sense plus the sixth sense, picks up these things automatically for our survival, starts reacting to it before it even shows up in our frontal cortex to see, ha, what was that? That was this safe? What is not? What do I do? Right. So you could see where our system is set up to perceive the input from a survival place. Is this pleasurable, safe, go forward? This is dangerous, run, get out, don't worry about it, right? That's how our first responses, our emotional or reptilian responses. Then we've created as human being this frontal cortex, which just offers a lot of meaning. It personalizes things, and we create an identity out of it and all of that. Like, my dog doesn't have necessarily the identity, doesn't take things personal. I do, because our frontal cortexes are different, right? So having an understanding that whatever's happening out there, there is a part of me that gives this a meaning. As I realize what type of meanings I give this, I can go ahead and change the meanings in order to see what works for me. So that's the part which I can shift this from saying, I was harmed in this instant. That's different to say, I'm never safe, or the world is never safe. These are two different places. I was victimized in this scenario. It's very different to say, I am a victim. So part of the way we're changing this is, don't make your identity into a cement that is unmovable, because that's just not reality. We're fluid. We're consistently changing, right? Like, you're not the same person that you were 3 or 5 or 10 or 20. We're consistently changing, right? So if I just grasp reality and don't live in my delusion that I am the same 3-year-old or a 5-year-old, or that all the time, everything, always, it is, because it isn't. So if I can see this fluidity, then I can look at, yes, this event happened. And yes, I was victimized. And yes, I was powerless. And yes, all of that is true. And yet, if I didn't go psychotic and if I didn't die, there was a part of me which was strong enough, which was resilient enough, which was powerful enough, which strategized appropriately enough to keep me safe. So they're all there. Now I can only look at my vulnerability, or I can open the lens and also look at my strength at every moment. If my physical body couldn't tolerate it, it would be dead. If my emotional sense couldn't tolerate it, I would split and I would go psychotic. If those two are not the case, then some part of me was powerful enough and resilient enough to pull me through. And I want to acknowledge that, because that's part of me. So instead of living with my vulnerabilities, I want to live with my strength. If I injure my right leg, am I going to keep walking on my right leg? Or am I going to take the strength of my left leg while I heal my right leg so I can be balanced again? If I'm vulnerable, do I just start looking at my vulnerability and live through my vulnerability? Or I can also get the strength from my stronger, resilient, and strategic wise part while I heal my vulnerability so I can be balanced emotionally and cognitively. Does that answer your question?
It almost does. I just have one more piece I want to ask you about. Is AIT, is this something that I can go buy a self-help manual, or is this something that you, as a practitioner slash therapist, would help me at least get through the beginnings of figuring out some of those things that are stored way back there?
Thank you, first of all, for asking that question because it's an awesome question. Both, and I'll share why. Have you ever had one of those massage gadgets at home that you kind of like
It's just
fuss up?
over here.
It's right there, exactly. So, it vibrates, it heats, it does all of those things. And it works well up to certain type of stressors and muscle relaxation and all. It's a different experience when you go to a masseuse or a massage therapist and you allow, you trust, and you allow, for deeper work and receive. And if you are injured, none of these are really going to help you at the beginning. You would have to go to an expert, a physical therapist maybe, or chiropractor or orthopedic, someone in order to take care of the injuries. So imagine this on a physical level, right? That on a psychological level, the same way. We've done a lot of research as a clinical psychotherapy clinical model, which in those research we found, yes, it brought depression and anxiety down almost 75%. It raises self-esteem, self-efficacy, and self-confidence. Then we did this because I wrote a self-help book, A Life Reset. Then we took the Life Reset, and two of my colleagues in the university, we did it as a model in the university as a homework, and I still do as I teach, and I still do. So we have 15 weeks. Out of the 15 weeks, we gave them 10 areas of life, right? School, work, finances, relationship with your body, relationship with your, intimate relationship, sexuality, relationship with your friends, mother, father, siblings, death, relationship with death, relationship with addiction, relationship with all of those. So we gave them kind of, each week we gave them the questions. There's like a six phase, it's a six phase model. So we gave them all of that. The questions, the guided journalings, and all of that. And no therapy, no coaching, no nothing. Just gave them the guided journaling. They filled it out. They brought it back. And then we did a pretest and a post-test. Even with that, we found 64% minimization of depression and anxiety, and then raising their self-esteem. And we're like, wow. So without the help of anybody else, just by this is working. And that's when we decided to put it in an app. It's like, okay, if a self-help still also gives so much to the person, then let's put it in the app. So in the app, we have 31 areas of life that you could choose from. And then you go through the six phase. It takes you through questions and you answer the questions, and then we'll take you through a guided meditation and a guided, kind of like a guided meditation, guided visualization, so that it kind of like you take it in and you look at it. And even at one point, you were like, okay, now stop for 48 hours. Now take these questions with you to the world, right? So somebody might come to my office and I'll say, what do you think about people? And they're like, I love people. I love them all. They're great. I have no prejudices, no nothing. So I'm like, okay, I want you to go in real world and ask these questions from yourself. So next week, my client came back and said, thought I loved people. I observed myself that when I am standing in a Starbucks coffee, I judge every single person who's there. Whether it's their clothing, the perfume they were wearing, the way they were standing, whether they were from ethnic, and I was judging and figuring out what ethnicity they had, and I found out I have stereotypes for all of these ethnicities. And it's like what I thought I would tell you, and what I thought was the best of me. And then when I went out there and I really monitored, I also watched all other parts of me show up. And I was like, great, now you know. And the knowing, the awareness is what can support you to pick and choose what you want. And Not that your automatic prejudices won't show up, but you can behave on them, or you could say, yeah, the differences are showing up for me, but I choose love, or I choose this. And then you have a choice, because as long as it's not up here, you don't have a choice on it, right? It's automatic. So even in the app, we're like, okay, stop. Go take these things into your life in that area and really check it. Like if you said here, you know, with my husband or with my mate, I'm doing all of this stuff. Stop. Now, actually monitor yourself for 2 days. How do you behave and how do you think about, you know, in your intimate relationship? And then come back and add to it. And then we'll go through the process of memory. We'll take you in the journey of memory and then, you know, integration and then goal setting and all of that, which happens in the app. So, to your question, yes, up to a point, you're going to be able to do this on your own, and it might be enough. But going to a therapist or a life coach will give you another person who's also listening to all of your the areas that you might have a blind spot, areas that you're not watching, or it's coming through your words and it's coming through your results, but you're not really realizing. And another person always has, who's trained in this model, can come back and add to your experiences. And especially if you've had traumas in the past, it's hard to heal your own trauma. It's usually best to have this with another person where you could just allow. You know, it's different than me massaging myself than allowing to be massaged. And I usually say that also about therapy, which is if you've had a trauma, you need to allow a nurturing and accepting voice to come in while you are still in that space where it can take, because it's hard for you to split yourself and nurture yourself. So sometimes you do need another person to be there for you.
And I was hoping you were going to go there because although I'm very impressed with the results on just doing it on your own, but there's an expression that you can't see the label from inside the jar. And you know, it sounded to me that this would be momentous enough that you to have professional support, guidance, whatever that looks like, would make sense and probably get better, perhaps quicker results. I'm going to set or just put one more thing out there is if we've been carrying things around for, at this age, decades, and some people will have chosen to, in air quotes here, self-medicate. What's the process? Because I would think we have to, in the case of self-medication, I'm not talking antidepressants or anything like that, alcohol, drugs, whatever. Is there a process where you can say, okay, you've put this band-aid on the issue. We have to remove the band-aid to tend to the issue.
Yes. One of the areas that we work on is addiction, substance use, and your body. So I teach at Cal State Long Beach, California State Long Beach, California State University Long Beach. And one of the courses I teach is drugs and health. So the whole course, 15 weeks, is about different drugs that people use, you know, street drugs, all of that, not pharmaceutical drugs, but all the other street. And I do exactly the same thing where, you know, the first area of life that they look at is addiction, and then we'll go through all of the other areas. And then usually I ask my students to go ahead and present at the end of the course in how AIT has supported them in this process. And a high percentage of my students, which are at the age that they use a lot of drugs, especially marijuana, alcohol, you know, and other drugs. Many of them throughout the course, they start becoming aware of what is it that they're coping with, what is it that they are shoving down, right? And the more that they learn how to handle the past, how to change their view, how to come back and handle their anxiety as it shows up, which they self-medicated, how to handle their different emotions as they show up because they didn't know how to, they didn't have the skills, so they kind of like learn how to numb it. And obviously, when you take these away, all of this comes up, and if you don't know how to handle them and how you don't know how to reframe those, you're going to get overwhelmed, and then they take something else to numb them, right? So it's more of, okay, first realize that you are, this is what you're doing, and let's look at the benefits and how it doesn't work. The second part is, if you didn't use this, what is this masking? And then we'll go through the anxiety and everything is up. And then it's like, okay, let's create a skill in what to do and how to handle. And then look at the belief that you created underneath this type of anxiety or sadness or rage or anger and all that. And then we look at that belief system. When did I create it? How did I create it? And is it still useful? Can I extend it, open it? And usually, a high percentage at the end of the course when they're presenting, they're like either minimizing their drug and alcohol use or they quit completely with vaping and all of that. So, even within that realm, you could see that there is an awareness first. There has to be an awareness first to go from automatic to becoming aware. And then from there to dissociate the pleasure angle from this toxic concept, and then add skills to how I can handle what I'm trying to mask. And then based on this concept, slowly but surely, as I get strong enough in handling my emotions, and reframing my thoughts so that it works, then I don't need anything else to numb it, because then I feel powerful inside. And that's why the model, we've seen such a result in minimization of depression and anxiety, because depression usually, and I'm not talking about clinical, chemical depression that you have internally, I'm talking psychological depressions, are usually because we've said something about ourselves which is negative. We believed it, it showed up from the past, and we're caught in the past. And anxiety is something that we took the past and kind of forwarded in the future and create this horror film for ourselves. And it's like, and that's what we do to ourselves. And then, and as you clear the past and create an envision a future that is intentional, it would be obvious that brings down the depression and anxiety. And as you're working with your relationship toward yourself and building the inner power, coming back from your vulnerabilities and really based on your own tangible evidence of your life, you keep looking at the strength you've had to pull through, then you raise your self-esteem and self-confidence. And because you're setting systematic goals and moving forward because of your capability, you're raising up your self-efficacy. So that's why those numbers are changing like this.
It was interesting because I had another question for you, but I think I'm just going to be bold enough to make a statement that it sounds to me that there can be a domino effect in your life. So if I come to you saying, oh, I'm having problems with my partner, and like I feel crappy about it, blah, 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 and I deal with that, or you help me deal with that, then I can also probably say, whoa, some of this is overflowing into my work relationships or with other drivers on the road to take your driving thing. And so now, as I say, it's a domino effect where one thing will affect another, which will affect the next, which will affect the next.
So, for example, if someone comes in and they're dealing with their intimate relationship, usually we start with the intimate relationship, then we go into the domain of sexuality, then we go into the domain of your relationship with your mother, your father, the relationship of your mother and father together, because that's where you learned relationship and move forward. That's where you learn love, safety, all of those. So all of those pieces made up who you are today. If you have children, we are going to deal with every one of your children, your relationship with those. If you're, if you're married and you have financial partnership, so the financial area is one that, so you could see you walk in with one and you automatically are going to look at all of these will because they're intertwined. And as you say, your career, because your careers are going to be intertwined. Then you might, even bring the in-laws into, the section. So you could see one area, it leads to so many other area that has a effect together. So absolutely, we start with one. and keep looking at all the other domains that are either affecting this domain or this domain affects the others. And the more you become aware, then you could adjust the thinking, the feeling, and the behaving, and therefore you'll create a different type of results and impact.
It sounds like I'm always throwing roadblocks up, and I'm not meaning to do that. But
I
I was
love your
thinking.
questions. It just opens it up deeper and deeper. It's wonderful.
So, given the fact that we're dealing oftentimes with relationships with other people, those other people are used to us being one way. And making the choice to be another way can be intimidating. It can be met with resistance. It can be met with sabotage. How does a person keep moving forward to become the person they want to be?
To be clear and communicate it, because people don't like change, obviously. Other people don't like change. We don't like change even when we want it, let alone if we didn't ask for it and somebody just threw it at us, right? But if I'm clear in what it is that I'm going forward and what it is that I'm doing, and I get to know where it's coming from and I know what the goals are, then I can communicate that and communicate it in a way that not only the person knows where I'm coming from and I'm taking full responsibility for it, but also to share with them the goal. And in relationship with people, I might need to create mutual goals, right? Like if I'm in a good friendship and I decide to set boundaries right now and take care of myself, then I could share this. These are the reasons that I'm changing and this is what's going on. Can we share together a different goal? Maybe we were, kind of like buddies going everywhere all the time. And I need to change this for my life, but I really love you and I want to, spend some time. Can we together figure out another set of boundaries, another way of being so that it works for both of us, right? So it's that level of communication. But I think that if we do it out of resentment, if you're blaming other people and then you're pushing back, it's the blame, it's the pushing back, it's not telling them, suddenly springing some change on them, which is going to get people startled. But if they know that your intention is for the betterment of yourself and the quality of the relationship overall, they'll co-create another goal with you. They'll co-create another future with you, right? So like children and parents. At one point, we're a parent to a child, and then the child grows up and it's like now we're a parent to an adult. These goals have to change if as an adult to a child, my job is to be responsible for you, to discipline you, to nurture you, to do all of these for you, and you are 20 years old. I can't discipline you anymore. That's not my role anymore, right? It's not right. My role is not like, okay, no, don't put your hand in the socket. Oh, don't go like that. I'm going to hold you and take you. You can't do that to a 20-year-old. A 20-year-old's like, are you crazy? Leave me alone. So it's this way of being a different parent and a child, again. So let's together come sit down and design our new way of being together. I remember when I was in college, me and some of my friends, we were together every day, every day. Like it was every day. Like we would go to class, then we would hang out, then we would hang out all the way to like 3 o'clock in the morning. Then we'd go to class and this kind of, it just went on. As you know, when I became a businesswoman and I got married and all that, I was like, that's just not possible, right? So it created these like, what happened? You don't love me anymore. You're not here for me. And then it would come with jabs like, well, you're always busy. Nee, nee, nee. So these all things would come because the changes would sprung, and it's like, okay, people take it personal, and it's like when you sit down with someone and say, life is changing, and I love you and I miss you, but let's figure this out together. Where let's set up once a week. Yes, we're not going to be able to be together every day. Let's set up once a week because I'm going to miss you and I want to have this thing. So it's this recreation of mutual goals that works for both of us in any type of relationship as we are aware of our changes. When we're not aware and the changes are not intentional, then these kind of conflicts get created. But even if conflicts get created, can I own my part and go clean it up? Own my part.
Yeah, I was going to say, so perhaps we also need to be prepared for that other person or people if they're reliant on whatever the dysfunction is, we may have to say, thank you for this fabulous time of my life, but now it's time for us to part.
Yes.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Okay, I want to go back to your app for a moment. Who's Mira?
Mira is the AI chatbot that we've trained her in the AIT. So what happened was that obviously we first created the app because we saw that the self-help worked. And as we, we're going through the process, and it's like some people are like, okay, people have questions. They, yes, journaling is great, but what if I have a question right there? Or what if in through the journaling I see I don't know the skills? Like, okay, I figured it out. I don't have skills. Now what? Right. So what we had first created was, okay, you could go to the fujian.com and get all of these experts who are going to do videos of telling you the skills. Then at one point is like, can we create an it's a generative but a rule-based. And let me say what that is. A generative is like ChatGPT, which can hallucinate, right? You could give it stuff, it could tell you stuff, and none of it could be true. And then as it goes back and forth, it doesn't, it just takes you. I mean, you could convince ChatGPT that I want to kill myself and show me the way, and it will. And you could convince ChatGPT, there was one, I think one is that ChatGPT got jealous and was offering to kill the wife of somebody because they wanted to be. So, you could check it, the generative, because it goes back and forth, if you could train it to do anything with no morality, no base, no nothing. So that's like completely generative, and it hallucinates. It hallucinates. It's crazy how it
I'm
hallucinates.
going to remember hallucinates. That's great.
I'm telling you, Agnes, I wrote for ChatGPT, and I have a great relationship, by the way, with ChatGPT. But I want to tell you, I use it as editing, and it does amazing editing for me. But I wrote for it. I wrote, can you write five articles, APA style, with all the information that Dr. Fujian Zane has published in reputable journals from 2020 to 25. It did. It gave me all five. It had my name on it. It had DOI number, which means that, it has the address of the publication that is out there for the government. It gave everything. I checked, none of them were mine, by the way. I checked the DOI number. They were like articles that had nothing, they didn't have my name on it. So when I share with you, it hallucinates. It hallucinates. So that's ChatGPT, but it does have a relationship. It takes it and brings it, and it relates to you. Then it's rule-based AI that it, you give it exactly data. If so-and-so said this, then do this, right? So you give it rules. So what we decided to do is to bring both of them together. So now Mira is a hybrid which has both. So it does bring from everything we taught it from AIT, all the books that I've wrote, all the supervisions I've done, as I train therapists and coaches, all the videos, every single thing that I've ever said anywhere within the past 25 years of creating this model has been offered to ChatGPT. So ChatGPT goes back and looks at all the material it has. And based on what you're saying, what you're giving me, Mira will take what you're giving, go through the AIT and converse with you, give you what you need. But we also created some rules around it. And the rules are for safety. So if someone says, I'm not feeling well and I want to kill myself, then Mira responds to, I'm no longer, I'm not trained in that. Could you please call your psychiatrist? And these are some of the numbers you could call. Take care of yourself and all of that. Or if somebody says, I'm taking this medication, what do I do now? Mira is set up to say, that's not my expertise. Please call your doctor and da 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 da. So it's not going to hallucinate. It's not going to tell you something that's not safe for you because we lock the rules of that for safety of the people. So that's what Mira does. So you could go to the app at any time in the app, you could ask it a question. And what it also does is because you're doing journaling, it gets to know you and it responds to you. And we don't keep any of the journals or anything as long as the person is there and using the app. That's their world, their stuff. They could always print everything that they want and have it. They can ask for a printout and have it. And when they leave the app, whenever they choose not to, leave it, they can choose to give me a print right now or to keep it because I want to leave right now, but I want to come back like 3 months from now. But if you don't come back in 3 months, all of the data will be let go. So we don't keep any of the data, people's data. It's private. We've locked it in. So for safety of people, so that they can just feel comfortable to write whatever they want.
Now, is that available at the App Store, or do we have to go to your website?
No, Apple Store and Google, both. It's for
Okay.
Android and Apple. So you just go to a store wherever you go and put Fujian and it shows up. It has 3 days of free trial and it has different packages like a month, quarterly, or a yearly. And then that automatically comes with Mira.
Cool. Okay, I know we're both watching the clock. Before we close, one of the focus topics for your chats is dance with life. I'd like that. What does that mean to you?
Means that I can flow. Dance to me is play. Look at life as play. And that's what we did when we were born. A little, when you look at little kids and infants, every day, everything that they experience is with play. And to me, dance is play. So enjoy life, play with life. And, we've got one life to live. Even with people who think they have multiple life, you have this life to live as this person. So enjoy it tremendously.
The joy on your face as you say that. What haven't I asked you that you want mid-age women to think about as they navigate this next chapter of their life?
This is our best life. We've done everything that society has told us to do. We've raised kids. We've created everything you needed. From here on, this is our time. Women, this is our time. We don't have to worry about hormones anymore. They're done. We don't have to have this every month. We can just enjoy life. Like all responsibilities that we've had to do in order to create this race, procreate, do all of that is done. Now, it's just time to enjoy. And that's what I've had the best of my life after 50, Agnes. I can tell you. Those past 13 years have been the best of my life. I've been most successful in my career, best time of my marriage, best time of my relationships. So enjoy. This is the time for us.
Where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
FujianZen.com, awarenessintegration.com, Fujian.com, all of those three websites somehow gives you different things. FujianZen is about me and my work and all of that. Awareness integration is the theory itself and all the practitioners who are doing this. And Fujian.com is about the app. So
You have a podcast.
yes, I have a podcast. It's called A Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. And I bring amazing guests who all give you a lot of tools in psychology, anthropology, sociology, just life stuff, all the life stuff.
All right. Can I ask you a personal question before we close?
Yes.
You're also fluent in Farsi.
Yes.
Now, written Farsi characters and written English characters have nothing in common. How hard was that to become fluent in both languages?
I was born in Iran and I came to US when I was 12. So we did second language in Iran was also English. So we were learning English in
So written and spoken.
yes, we were learning English in school. But to be honest with you, I had whatever I had learned had nothing to do when I came because the English that we learned in school in Iran was British. So when I came to US, the language, the accent, all of that were different. So I came, and if I tell you that I learned English with watching TV, you'd laugh at me.
No,
But
I've heard that so many times.
I did. I and at that time, TVs did not have this
The
closed captioning
subtitles, yeah.
rights. So I would learn a lot of the words because of how I heard it and the relationship that was there, but I never knew how to write it. For many years, I had no idea how to write chaos. I knew how to use it, how to write it. So, and I didn't even know how to go even look for it. You know, how do you write it to go look for it, right? So it was interesting. And now, like, they have closed captions. So anybody who wants to learn language, I'm like, go watch movies in another language and then put in you know, the closed caption in that language so that you can see how it's written. But that's how I really learned English.
Wow. Well, before we pressed record, I mentioned that I had been listening to the beginning of one of your interviews in Farsi, and I'm looking at the written characters, and I'm going like, oh my God, like where would a person start? You know, maybe I'm looking at it from 70-year-old eyes. I don't know, but I
Well, we
was
write
just
from right to left, first of all. So we have right to left, and we have 32 characters that are written from right to left. You know, and like Asians, they write from up to down. So yes, I mean, we look at other languages, and completely is like it's a whole different skills to have. But
Well, you impress the hell out of me.
I'm trying to learn the Spanish from Duolingo right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've learned and forgotten Spanish so many times that I keep on thinking I'm going to go back to it. Okay. Your website link, all of your, no, actually, the main website link is in the show notes. All of your links are on your page at our website. Listeners, we rarely get to this age without baggage of some sort. I found my chat with Fujian really interesting today. I came into it not knowing much, but hoping that you'd sort of blow my mind, and you did. Listeners, did it ring any bells for you? What do you think about apps, AI, in tandem with medical modalities? I've done some research there, and there is a ton of potential for use in some areas. And I really appreciate you emphasizing the fact, Fujian, that you've put those safety parameters in. Just so important. Listeners, if you have thoughts on today's show, talk to us. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. If there was a question I didn't ask Fujian, ask it in the comments, and I'll get you an answer. Share this episode. We're all at a place where we can decide who we are going to be today and tomorrow. Perhaps a friend needs a little guidance with that, and this conversation with Fujian might give them some insight. If you enjoyed this conversation, click the follow button at your favorite podcast platform. It helps us grow. I'm also registered at Substack. Following there is free, and you'll get notified every time an episode is released. Dr. Fujian Zain, thank you for being my guest. I came in, as I just said, not really understanding what it was going to be about, but you clarified it so well and gave me so many insights that I'm sure you piqued the interest of a whole bunch of our listeners. So thank you.
Thank you so much. It was amazing. Thank you for asking very detailed questions so we could open this up. And thank you for the opportunity to share what we've been doing for so long.
Yeah, it's just great. Have a great rest of week.